0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers' new sporting director says they're under no pressure to sell Alfredo Morelos in January. Christopher Julian's hoping John Kennedy stays at Celtic amid interest from Hibs. And Mikey Devlin's hoping he and Scott McKenna can take their Aberdeen relationship into the Scotland team. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, Scotland v Cyprus on Saturday, Gordon, we're 3 days away from it. People will say it's a nothing game, but the bottom line is Steve Clark's got two games to sort it out ahead of the playoff in March, possibly Israel, possibly Bulgaria in that fixture. And for the old firm, still neck and neck at the top of the table, we've still got plenty to talk about and plenty of interest in the coaching staff at both clubs and in the playing staff at both clubs in January, no doubt, but an interesting window.
Yeah, I mean, the international games, I think, is so difficult nowadays for an international manager, because the biggest talking point is always who's not in the squad, Gordon, rather than who is in the squad. And, you know, we're still waiting on those two big Edinburgh clubs appointing new managers. So, as ever, still plenty of talking points in Scottish football.
The number you need is 0141 951 1025. In the second hour of tonight's show, we're going to be joined live in the studio by Scotland international Johnny Russell. The former Dundee United man will be here, so you can get any questions, any points into Johnny after 7 o'clock this evening. In the meantime, get your calls in nice and early, 0141 951 1025, and you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. I'm sure there will be some Scotland discussions down the line, further frustrations regarding the call-offs and those who aren't available, but quite a bit happening on the club front today, Mark Guidi. A couple of guys, one in particular who we've not heard from before, and that is the Rangers sporting director Ross Wilson, new to the post. Rangers fans, give us a call with your thoughts on this. He's insisting that there's no pressure to sell top scorer Alfredo Morelos in January. The club need an extra £10 million of funding. That's the reports, of course, in the last couple of weeks before the end of the season, that annual loss of £11.3 million. But Wilson says the squad will not be hit.
First and foremost, I think the first team's got a number of players that are really interesting and could be interesting for other clubs, because to take the question from before, the club's in a significantly better place than it was before. And a lot of that's down to the recruitment of the work that's been done, the work that Stephen and the coaching staff, Stephen's coaching staff, who are excellent around him, I must say, have done with the players. So holding those players for as long as we possibly can. We understand, like every other club in world football, that there comes a moment when players have to move on to something else for a variety of reasons. We'll be no different to that, but that's certainly not on the horizon in January.
Certainly would sound good if you were a Rangers fan, Mark Guidi. Yeah. These things are always the same. You sort of... You kind of believe it when you see it, but at the moment you can only take Ross Wilson at face value. You take Steven Gerrard at face value. They're both been fairly categoric in this, that now is not the time, regardless of what that financial picture looks like.
It's not the time, and I don't think for a minute that Alfredo Morelos will get sold, even if Rangers do receive a bid in excess of 20 million, because they'll still get that money in May, June, July. So, and they say to Alfredo, just you hold off, you'd hate to help us win the league. By that point, they might have the League Cup in the bag, they might not, but there'll be plenty to play for regardless in the second half of the season. But if they get into the last 32 of Europe, Gordon, that will give them some extra financial income in terms of filling that £10 million gap. Now that'll go back to, so that's good. So you might get, let's say for Toxic, between £3 and £4 million for just the next knockout stage, which is good. But I do think that, as much as I don't think they'll sell Morelos, and rightly so, I think if you do that, you may as well close the doors and shut the curtains, because it's game over. But if there's other people attracting attention, whether it's a Glenn Kamara or a James Tavernier or whatever, bearing the financial pressure that the club's under, they might have to look at bids for other players, because Ross Wilson, by all accounts, is now the director of Football Rangers and sitting in that press conference today because... Mark Allen lost his job, left his job, whatever you want to say. And part of the reason for that was because the wage bill wasn't trimmed enough. They were carrying too many passengers in a top-heavy squad. And so that's something that they'll have to address, and rightly so, because they have got too many players. The wage bill's too high, and they need to address that as quickly as possible. So it'll be interesting to see. As I say, I don't for a second expect Morelos to be sold, but it wouldn't surprise me if they need to try and raise some income from somewhere in their squad to help fill that £10 million hole.
if football is your priority, Jim, and listen, I know these two, of course they have to go hand in hand, but I don't think many people would argue that it makes a great deal of footballing sense to sell Alfredo Morelos. How could you possibly build that case on a footballing
not aspect? From a football perspective, it doesn't. But, you know, there's so many aspects in modern day football, Gordon, that, you know, are away from the football side. First and foremost, you've got the player, the individual player. I don't mean just mean Alfredo Morelos, any player. So if they see an opportunity to better themselves in a better league, a better salary, higher profile, and they want that, then they make it very difficult for the club, you know, to get them to stay. And we've seen that many, many times all the way. You know, I mean, you look at, for instance, down south, Arnautovic. Arnautovic wanted to go. He was a massive player for West Ham, but he made it clear, abundantly clear, that basically, if he doesn't go, you know, you're not going to get half the player still on the team. So that even a club like West Ham, who pay the money they play in the English Premiership, saying, okay, we'll need to take a hit on him, he's got to go. We had Dembele at Celtic last day of the transfer window. I want to go, made it again abundantly clear that if he wasn't going, then, you know, you're not going to get the same player who stays. So, you know, I'm not saying Alfredo Morelos is like that. I don't know him, but Steven Gerrard seems to have a very good relationship with him. But when the big clubs come calling, and when a big league comes calling, and a big salary, huge salary increase, then sometimes players can force the hand of clubs, even with a statement that Ross Wilson's made today. Mm-hmm. So it's not always down to the club. Of course, like Matt says, like any Rangers fan would say, it'd be crazy to sell him, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't happen.
So Rangers fans, the first time we've heard from Ross Wilson, he's saying today, no pressure at all to sell Alfredo Morelos. Is that good enough for you, or are you still anticipating a slightly nervy January transfer window when it comes around? Why not let us know? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. If you remember back, Ross Wilson rejected an approach from Rangers a few years ago. But he says he wanted to do more in his role as Director of Operations at Southampton, and he says he's now moved with Rangers in a much better place.
Significantly, eh? Significantly. I think Stephen's done a wonderful job here so far. And a long way to go, and he's somebody that I'm excited to work with to continue on that journey here. And the club feels in a really strong position. Credit to Mark as well for the work that he did before I've got here. So yeah, to answer your question directly, I think the club's in a stronger place today. I think the important thing for me is I'm not the chief scout. I'm not the head of recruitment. We've got a strong recruitment department headed by Andy Scolden. It's one of the departments that I lead. So the role is to lead the football department. I think a club of this size and magnitude, ultimately what the role is about is making as many areas of the football side of this club excellent. And we're not going to do that overnight. We've got to strive for improvement all the time, whether it's in the academy, whether it's in medical and sports science, whether it's in the facility that we've got here.
Quite good to get a bit of clarity on the role, because it means different things to different people, and we've debated it many times on the show. So, you know, Ross Wilson there underlined, because what's the thing we always judge them on as fans or media? It's recruitment. Yeah. And he's quite keen to point out that, yes, whilst that's part of his remit and he oversees it, Rangers have a head of recruitment in Andy Scolding, you know, or a chief scout. Ross Wilson's role is to be sort of above that, if you like, or bring everything together with medical side of things, sports science, the academy, working with that network that's already there. So this idea that he's judged on, you know, sort of recruitment and recruitment only is actually wrong.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of the stuff in football clubs in the background are not really what supporters want to know about, or really exactly. That interested in. They don't care if we've got the best sports science, part of the club or the academy is important. When they see young players come into the first team, that's really only when they take an interest, or when they don't see them perhaps at times. But in terms of, you know, the players come into the first team, really that's where everyone thinks that a head of a department. So his overall role will be to still be aware of that, still look at that, still look to improve that. But I still feel that these are the areas that fans will always look at as a number one priority. What kind of quality of the players are we bringing in? Can we find another Morelos? Was it a million and a half? Morelos was
a million, yeah. A million. From Helsinki.
Can we find a player like that for £1 million? Phenomenal business. So if you can get that, or a Tavernier for the money, or the kind of thing. So that's important to supporters. The actual territory of the role, I don't really think is relevant to supporters, or that they're that important to them.
But it is important, Mark, to get that clarity, isn't it? Because we talk about it all the time, and maybe it's unfair on people who've held similar roles before, because people bringe in and criticise and analyse without having a full understanding of what the role is and the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, and it is, you know, for Ross Wilson, and may I add that the first time that we've heard from him in public since he accepted the Rangers job, and I said when he was appointed that, make no mistake, he is a step up from Mark Allen, which is a great appointment for Rangers, and he will drive the different departments forward, and part of that will be recruitment, helping to bring players in, but as I said, just as importantly, getting the right ones out, mm-hmm. you know, to reduce that wage bill and free up some money should they need it in January or in the summer. But he is a really good operator, Ross Wilson, and he will do well for Rangers. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
0141 951 1025 to join the debate. David's in Kirkluck. Hi, David.
Hi there, how you doing?
Not too bad at all. What's on your mind then regarding Ross Wilson, Alfredo Morelos, anything else?
Yeah, first time caller. Just phoning in regards to the Alfredo Morelos, selling him in January. I think it would be a bad move. Can't see Rangers doing it at all. All the hard work that they've done up until now, spending all this money and getting the club to where it is to then hand Celtic the league. That's effectively what we would be doing. Selling their biggest asset when we're so close. You know, we're running Celtic so close this year, so can't see that happening whatsoever.
Is that quite how important you see him, David? You know, you just used the phrase there, you hand Celtic the league if he goes. Is that how strongly you feel about it in terms of his importance?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You take him out the team, you're losing 30 goals a season, at least. He's probably on course for probably about 40 if he keeps up. And these goals that he's scoring are big. We've seen it all the way through Europe this season. You just can't stop scoring. So, 100%, you take him out the league, even if you do get the money for him, say 20, 25 million, to try and get a player of his quality in for even half that money, they would struggle to do so.
Well, Rangers can't, you know, the business model can't be, David, that you buy for one, sell for, say, 22, and then bring somebody else in at 11. That's not how the model works, and Rangers can't go to that level. They need to make the the big thing for Rangers would be, if a club comes in January for Alfredo Morelos, and let's just say 22 million is on the table, and the club says, take it or leave it, we ain't coming back in the summer because we need to sign a striker now. So the Rangers board would have to weigh up a decision, because that money is 1 year's Champions League money, or it's 2 years season ticket money, or it's 7 years prize money in Scottish football. And they say, do we take it? Because financially, yes, it makes sense, and that's what it's all about. Or do we risk the wrath of our fans, and we're almost like you're conceding, giving Celtic 9 in a row? They've got to wait. For me, there's only one answer, and that is that you resist and you don't take it. But it depends. And the other thing as well, which why I think there will be movement for Morelos in January, and movement for Edouard in that matter, is, and I think we've discussed it a number of times now, Gordon, there's not a lot of number nines going about. There's not a lot of goal scorers. I think they probably are a dying breed. And with the greatest respect, if you look down the road and you see Ollie McBurnie going for 20 million quid, that's a marker of what it's about. So if you've got somebody up here not only scoring goals here, but now scoring goals in Europe, as Morelos has been doing for 18 months, as Edouard has been doing for 18 months, and doing it for his international team at France under 21 level, they are prized assets.
How do you balance up with the business side of things, David? Because I know when Rangers announce financial results, everyone pours over them, and sometimes they interpret them whatever way they want. But I don't think anyone would argue that Rangers could be doing with, say, 20 million quid. In fact, every club in Scotland could be doing with it. Rangers more so than others, I suppose. What about that side of it, David? Is that just something that has to just be managed by Dave King, by the board, and just keep believing in the model that they've got at the moment?
Yeah, well, obviously the soft loans can't continue. You know, Dave King said it himself. He wants the club back, so it's it can run itself, doing that, putting runs together in Europe, winning the league, qualifying for Champions Leagues. But it does look, it doesn't look great now, the financial figures, but that 20 million or 25 million for Alexia Morelos, that's still going to be there at the end of the season. So there's absolutely no rush to sell him mid-season, especially when we're running Celtic close, closer than we have done previous seasons. So yeah, we keep a hold of our top aspect, or asset, sorry. We keep him till the end of the season, we see where we are, and we can punt him then and get the money, you know, and that'll make you books look a lot better.
Very good, thank you very much, David. Not bad for a first call at all. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, David,
we'll have you back sometime.
Yeah, of course, phone back again, David. I mean, David, I think we'd be like any Rangers fan. I mean, any football fan that loves to see good players, but the better Morelos does it, and which he has been fantastic this year, been exceptional. And the more he improves, the more goals he scores, then he's going to attract attention. That's the bottom line. Mark's 100% right. There are very, very few centre-forwards about. I mean, we're hearing, you know, Crystal Palace fans. I heard Roy Hodgson talking the other day. They're saying, we're desperate for a centre-forward. Yeah. We're desperate. Yep. You know, so 25 million to Crystal Palace is nothing. You know, I mean, and then we heard Manchester United saying, we're desperate for a centre-forward. You know, they've only got Martial, who's not a regular goal scorer. So these clubs must be taking note of Alfredo Morelos. They must be. You know, you've got a guy like Joe Linton going to Newcastle for 40 million. I think he scored 8 goals in one season. That was his biggest goal tally. You know, you've got somebody, I mean, people can look at Scottish football, can judge it any way you like, but the likes of McGinn going down there for 3 million, you know, I think sometimes,
I think it's changing perceptions of it.
I think there's sometimes that they might just look at the market differently now, because now they should be looking at his quality, his assets, what he's good at, rather than the opposition he's playing against.
Yep.
And also in Europe, he's scoring goals. So for me, he will attract attention, absolutely no doubt. And I think he'll attract bids in January. It just depends how strong Rangers are in negotiating.
All right, let's get the views of Gavin, who's in Drumchapel. Hi, Gavin.
Hiya, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem. What's your point?
I tried to phone the other night after the Rangers European game against Porto, stating that I think that Morelos is going to go in January. He's a working man, so he's only going to look after himself. If he's going to get offered more money in another club, I reckon he'll take it. It doesn't matter if he's playing for Rangers or no. Then if a big price comes in for his head, let's say £20 million, I don't think Rangers can afford to reject that. Even though, as your last caller said, I think they will be handing the league to Celtic, because we've got nobody that's scoring the goals, and nobody's scoring the goals the way Morelos scores, because he scores them really individually sometimes, and he's at the centre of the goal itself. So it's just to see about your appointment, how you do that.
Well, Mark, you can understand that. The club have been pretty consistent. Steven Gerrard saying it's not happening, Ross Wilson saying it's not happening, but Gavin's still a bit concerned that it might be the case if the money does come in and it's too good.
The only way I can see Rangers selling Morelos in January, unless it's a ridiculous bid, and for me a ridiculous bid is in excess of 25 million. If somebody says 27, 28, 29, 30 million, I think you have to hold your hands up and sell. I do, and I wouldn't criticise Rangers and if they did that. Anything less than that, I say, no, hang on to them and see how you're going. The only way I can see them selling in January for, say, a 20 million kind of fee is if between now and the winter break, Celtic have won the League Cup and they've maybe, they won the next Old Firm game, and maybe they might have, say, let's say, a 7 or 8 point gap, and all of a sudden you're saying, I think it's very unlikely now that Rangers are going to stop 9 in a row.
Matt, what if the player goes to the club and says, listen, I want to move to the English Premiership, or it could be Spain, it could be the La Liga.
Yeah,
I mean, there are clubs, I mean, I looked at Atletico Madrid again, they've got Costa, they've got Morata. Again, they don't have a goal scorer. You know, these kind of type of clubs are massive clubs. He'll probably minimum treble his wages, minimum. You know, it could be quadruple, whatever the five times is. But he could really, and so if you're, as you say, in that position,
yeah,
and you knock on the door and say, listen, I appreciate what you've done, but I want. And again, as I said, I'm not saying Morelos will do that, but if he does, how does the club deal with it?
Can they manage a situation where, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but this would be the first actual concrete bid if it were to come. Yeah. There's been all this interest, but you know, did this not happen with, try to think back, I remember being at a Celtic game at Dens Park, and I think Van Dijk had taken the huff, for want of a better expression,
and they pulled out the game.
But he ended up staying at that point, didn't he? And was then sold down the line. I mean, surely the next couple of months are crucial to Rangers and the way they work that relationship with Alfredo Morelos and making it clear that we cannot just take, you know, the first bid that comes along.
You've just basically got to hope that Morelos buys into the second half of the season and the importance of it, and says and hopes that he pays back a bit of loyalty to Steven Gerrard and to Rangers Football Club, saying, look, we're talking 4 months. All we're talking about is 4 months. But the player, you know, if he's earning for talks, let's say he's on 20 grand a week now at Rangers, you're right, he'll probably, his next one will be 80 grand a week. And if you've got an agent that's sort of saying, I'm on 3 million quid here, I'm on a £3 million.
But players can maybe get injured and all these things. Mark, and they sometimes think, this is the chance for me. That chance might not come again. As you said, Gordon, there will be offers in the summer, no doubt. But he could get injured, you know, and these things happen. I've seen it many times with top players. Mayor David Turnbull, you know, had the Celtic deal pretty much done and dusted.
Life changing, and then disappears.
And then all of us, and then it looks unlikely if that would happen again.
Just final word to you, Gav, on you go.
No, I just hope it stays, but I'm keeping my fingers and toes crossed just in case it doesn't.
Good man. Well, I'm sure we'll speak to you between now and then as this rumbles on. It will officially become a saga at one point, I'm sure. That's the label that always gets put on it. Speaking of which, we're well short of the saga, but Hibs are looking for a new manager. Could it be John Kennedy? Well, Christopher Julian certainly hopes not, and we're going to hear from the Celtic defender after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, you can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. I'm sure there will be lots more of you trying to give your reaction to that Ross Wilson piece speaking about Alfredo Morelos. Let's take a look at some of the other stories from today. Celtic defender Chris Julian has been speaking. He says John Kennedy is a real asset. They don't want to lose. Hibs are expected to ask for permission to speak to Neil Lennon's assistant as they look for a new manager themselves. But Julian's been telling our senior sports reporter Alison Conroy just how important Kennedy is.
Who would leave Celtic, you know? Like I said, I'm in love to that club for now, and it's really good, and I'm sure, and he loved that place, and you know, he's just been so good for us. You know, he's a really good trainer, and I'm really happy that he's been with us and is with us for now.
As a defender, how good is John Kennedy for you and your development?
Really good. You know, he tried to advise me on every part that I can do on the field, and like I say, you know, he's in a good place. We are in a good place, and having him on my side every day, it's really, really enjoyable.
Celtic fans, give us your take. 0141 951 1025. It's going to hang in the air a little bit longer until Hibs make a decision either way. Mark Guidi, Jim Duffy, what do you think? First, there's a few different aspects to this. What's the likelihood that Hibs go for John Kennedy? What's the likelihood he would consider it, take it? What else needs to be brought into the equation here?
Well, there's two parts. Do Hibs genuinely want him? If they do, are they willing to pay the compensation required? And B, does John Kennedy feel that it's time for him to step out of the shadow of Neil Lennon and before that Brendan Rodgers and before that Ronnie Dyla, that he's now set to be his own man? If he does he think Hibs is the right club for him? Does he want to go mid-season when Celtic are going for 9 in a row, just like we're talking about with players? You know, you're hoping that there's going to be, but it depends. You know, if Hibs do want him and they meet the compensation, and John Kennedy says to Neil Lennon, Neil, I think it's time to go, I really want to go and be my own man, I don't think Neil Lennon would stand.
Do you think he would?
In his way. What do you think he would want to go? I don't know. I think if there is an actual offer there in front of him, then I think he'd be very, very tempted. I think he probably feels that having been an assistant coach now for 5 years, that it's maybe time for him to go and try something. But depending if he thinks Hibs the right job for somebody like John Kennedy to land his job, I think it'd be a good move for him. Would Neil Lennon stand his way? I don't think he would, because Neil's been that young coach himself. And then it would allow Neil to go and look at bringing in his own man. Not that he doesn't respect the light working with John Kennedy or Damien Duff, but he hasn't brought in his own man since accepted the job in May. So it would give him an opportunity to go and bring in somebody of his choosing.
Yeah, it all depends on if John Kennedy decided he wants to be a manager or does he want to remain a coach. Some guys are happy to be a coach. They don't want to be managers. They love the training ground part. They don't like all the other side of it. But if John Kennedy wants to be a manager, then I think absolutely he would take the Hibs job. It's a great opportunity for him. As I said, and as Mark said, he's been there and he knows that if he's successful at Hibs, then he may well go back to Celtic one day as a manager. You know, if Neil Lennon moves on in a couple of years, all these kind of things. So
does that give you a better chance of becoming the Celtic manager than just staying where you are?
Yes.
and getting
yeah.
bumped up?
Yes.
You think it does?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because again, you've got that experience, and I think I'm not saying it would never happen or couldn't happen, but I think if he goes away and is successful, again, you've got to be successful. And as we've seen recently, whether it's Paul Heggenbottom, whether it's Greg Levine, whether it's Sir Stephen Presley's been sacked today down at Carlisle, it's getting very, very difficult. So, you know, he would have to do his homework at Hibs. I think he would have to do his homework if he did get the opportunity.
There's nobody better than Neil Lennon to tell him what it's like, what kind of club it is.
Not just the background, but the players.
Do you
players.
Think the reports would be glowing?
Yeah. Yeah, it might not be the best person to ask. But in terms of the club, it's a big club, and it'd be a big step. But they want a head coach. He is a coach. He would still have that, you know, opportunity to work, but the responsibility and all the other actions from team selection and how you play and style and all these kind of infrastructure would all be part of it. But I think if they get offered it, I think he would be very keen to if he wants to be a manager. As I say, if they ask John Kennedy, you can ask him a blank question: do you want to be a manager one day, forget the Hibs job? And if he says yes, then I think the opportunity will be there.
Right, Jerry's a Celtic fan on the line. Jerry, what do you think from a Celtic fan's perspective? What is the likelihood that Hibs could, if they wanted to, tempt John Kennedy away?
Gordon, I've got a lot of respect for John Kennedy and the way he overcame the injury. Unfortunately, his playing career didn't pan out the way he would have wanted to, but the fact that he's going to be a coach under Ronnie Dyla, Brendan Rodgers, and now Neil Lennon is a testament to him. I think going to Hibs is a bad idea for John Kennedy. For me, it's a poison chalice. You look at the managers who have been there over the years, Alan Stubbs, Pat Fenlon, Colin Calderwood. And this is a genuine question. What are these guys actually doing now? I don't know, because they seem to have disappeared after they've been at Hibs. I would not trust Rod Petrie or Leanne Dempster as far as I can throw them. If I was John Kennedy, I would stick with Neil Lennon until the summer, hopefully secure 9 in a row, and then see what jobs are on offer then.
I mean, first of all, I would say that Alan Stubbs won the Scottish Cup with Hibs, the last team to win a trophy. Out with Celtic, then he left to go to Rotherham. So you can't blame Hibs, you know, for that. Well, that wasn't a graveyard for Alan Stubbs. That was a stepping stone for him to go to the English Championship. Unfortunately, he chose the wrong club. Yeah, so take Alan Stubbs out of the equation.
In terms of Rod,
Rod Petrie, I don't think Rod's is involved now. I think his involvement with the club is purely down. It keeps him involved as a president of the SFA. But there's a new structure at Hibs now. Jerry, so I don't think Rod Petrie's really hands on day to day. But as Jim said, if John Kennedy wants to become a manager, what age is John? 37, 38? If you've got an opportunity to go to a club like Hibs, you've got a great training ground to go and go about your work every day. You've got a really good supportive fan base. You've got a more than decent squad. It will need a bit of surgery, but it's more than decent. It's certainly not relegation material. You'd fancy yourself to be pushing up towards the top six. And I think for your first job, to get one of the top 12 jobs in Scottish football, I think it's a decent one.
He's 36, but you were close. That's close enough.
And he's good. A good operator, John. Knows his stuff. But he might think, do you know what, maybe I need another year, 18 months of learning, then I'm ready to go. But I suspect that he probably feels the time's right for him to go and try something.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think, as I said, it'd be a great opportunity if he decides to be a manager. And I think there comes a time as a coach, you've either got to make that decision. And if you do, if it doesn't work out at Hibs, I think the fact is he's such a good coach and the reputation, you can still go back to coaching. If you're only a manager, it's much more difficult. It's difficult to go back as a coach. Mm-hmm. But if you've been a coach, you take the manager, and then he's had that, as you say, that experience. I think there's a number of clubs would say, no, we'll have him back as a coach. And therefore, I personally think if Hibs come calling, I think if the deal's right, I think he would go.
Jerry, there was quite a few tweets coming into the show last night when this came up, saying from Celtic fans, you know, saying that they actually see John Kennedy as a future Celtic manager. Is that something you would go along with?
Possibly, Gordon, but I do think he needs to leave and actually manage somewhere else. I wouldn't want him to be kind of like the heir to the throne when Neil Lennon leaves again. I'd rather see him manage somewhere else first.
Yeah, I guess is that just about picking up that skill set? I mean, well, Neil Lennon sort of stepped in, didn't he? He kind of became the Celtic manager in terms of a succession.
Kind of different circumstances, though, in terms of they sacked Tony Mowbray. Tony Mowbray was put in garden leave. Mostly it was financial difficulty, but there was all everything into the equation that it suited to make Neil Lennon the appointment at the end of the season. Then they gave him at Pemley, and it worked out very well. I don't think that to take on the Celtic job, whether it's a year from now, 2 years or 3 years from now, that you can go from not being a manager at all. You need to have something under your belt. So I think if John Kennedy's aspirations to be the Celtic manager, he needs to go out and show it, whether it's at Hibs or elsewhere. I don't think it would be right to promote someone who's never been a manager and to become the Celtic. I don't think it'd be fair in the person and not the right move for the football club.
What else is on your mind, Jerry?
Okay, right. You know I'm a Celtic fan, so you're obviously going to think I'm coming this from a biased slant. Hear me out. The idea of Alfredo Morelos going for 20, 25 million, 30 million is pure science fiction. It's Star Wars, it's Star Trek, it's Lord of the Rings. It ain't going to happen. Not because he's not a good player. He's a decent enough player. But this is the simple fact of the matter. 2 weeks ago, Rangers released these accounts basically saying that they need money to survive. This is not me as a Celtic fan saying, you know, they're going to go bust in 2 months' time. This is in black and white. This has been published by the media. So why would a Premier League club come in with a bid of, say, £20 million when they know that the Rangers are desperate for money and they could get them for less than half of that? It makes financial sense for them to actually say, you know what, low ball offer, but we're not going to give you £20 million. That's just stupid, even for Premier League clubs with massive amounts of money.
Well, if they're in the Europe, Jerry, and that's a big if, but I fancy Rangers to get through. I think they're 75-80% of the way there. Then that's 3-4 million quid into that 10. They might have, like I said at the top of the show, I think that as much as I don't think Rangers will sell Morelos, I think there's probably a need to sell one or two and trim the wage bill. And if they can bring in 3-6 million pounds from elsewhere and transfer, they've got to do it. You know, financially, they've got to do it. But in terms of your valuation of Alfredo Morelos, trust me, he is a £20 million striker. Now, I know what you're saying. Why is he not? Give me the reasons why he's not a £20 million striker in today's market a club down south.
Four red cards last season for a start. And all this talk about him, by the way, you know, calm and his temper and everything under the sun. I've watched a few Rangers games. Yes, obsessed Celtic fan, watched Rangers games, I know, put the jokes in there. I've watched Rangers game this year, and I've seen him with the niggles, with the elbows, with the kicks out. Of course, our Scottish referees haven't seen them. We don't have VAR in this country, and I know that's a totally different issue and there's controversy with that. If he goes to England, he ain't going to stay in the pitch every match. He's going to be getting red cards again. That's the kind of player he is. He hasn't calmed the temperament.
He has calmed it, Jerry, in the last 4 months. The facts are there. The facts are there.
The fact that he hasn't been sent off.
Well, there you are then. There's a fact he hasn't been sent off. What about the quality of his finishing, Jerry? What about the quality of his finishing this season? What about the improvement in him this season? Take his goal against Porto, the clever movement, the touch, the finish. Well, his goal against Hearts at Hampden 10 days ago. Quality of the finish. Look at his goal against Livingston Sunday. The quality of the finish. And think about the bigger picture, the death of number 9s. That's why Edward will be sought after as well in January. I don't like saying it, Jerry, but in terms of your assertion of Alfredo Morelos, there is absolutely no doubt that you've got green tinted specs on, 100%. You have. You can laugh, but it's true.
It's not. Do you think a club in England are going to care about scoring against Hearts or?
But he's scoring in Europe now, Jerry. That's my point.
He just missed out in Porto Europe. Conveniently, Jerry.
But he's a top class player. That's the bottom line. His movement away from the ball, his timing of the runs, his calmness in front of goal, his improvement over the last 6-8 months has been immense. He's a top class modern day striker, Jerry. Forget what team he plays for. He is a top class modern day striker, and he will have a number of people. If he continues in the form he's got and the improvement he's got, he will have a host of teams wanting him. in January and beyond that.
Jerry, thank you very much for the call. It's 0141 951 1025. Ideal time to get your thoughts in. We'll get some travel with Amber, and then you could be up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can tweet us throughout the show, remember, at Clyde SSB. I just checked in, by the way, on Twitter. You'll be pleased to know that from one half of Glasgow, you're being accused of overvaluing Alfredo Morelos and hyping him up, and from the other, you're desperate to move him on, you're desperate to unsettle him. So I don't know which is. You can decide.
To the programme, you say, no, they're desperate to get rid of me.
You can decide. Anyway, I suspect it will rumble on. Don't forget, after 7 o'clock tonight, we will be joined in the studio by Scotland international Johnny Russell. We'll have a bit of a chat with him, see what he's up to, see what's next for him. And of course, if you've got any questions or points, you can fire them over on the phones or on Twitter. Let's go straight back to the phones and speak to Brian in Cambuslang. Hi, Brian.
Hi guys, thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem, what's your point?
Well, the last caller, obviously, it's been much a rerun of last season's games and this season. Point is, Alfredo Morelos, the saga keeps growing. What if, the thing is, they say they want to play in a bigger and better league. What if Rangers win the league? Hypothetically speaking, what if Rangers win the league? Does Morelos then think, hold on, come back, no better league in the Champions League, let me stay with Rangers and see what happens? That's a flip of the coin, what happens there, because Rangers will still get the money. Out selling Morelos.
Yeah, of course, listen, Champions League will always be a carrot. There's a problem with that, Mark, is there's a whole lot has to happen before that becomes... Yeah.
First of all, you need a club to bid for him. You need Rangers to accept the bid and him to agree his contract. Certainly would Alfredo Morelos, if he did have the chance to move to the Premier League down south, or the Bundesliga or La Liga, would he turn it down, a 4-year deal to go and play there, to stay for 6 games, maybe 8 games, whatever it is, with Rangers in the Champions League? No, you don't base your decision on that, Brian. Look, for me, I don't think Rangers will sell Alfredo Morelos in January. But I do think he'll be away by the summer. So I think, yeah, looking at the last 7 months of his Rangers career, one way or another. And to buy a player at $1 million for the goals that he scored, and to sell him for in the region of 20, is fantastic business for Rangers. And it's good for the boy that he then gets his wish to go and move on, quadruple his money, play in a better league. He won't, like the guys that have left Celtic, unless Van Dijk now, but you don't actually go and play for a bigger club. You know, he won't go and play for a club that's got 50,000-60,000 supporting them every week, but he does, goes and plays in a better league with bigger money. So I don't think he'll go in January, but he'll be away in the summer. And if Rangers do win the league, the carrot of the Champions League won't be enough to keep him here.
Yeah, well, I don't think that he's going to move to a bigger club. He's still going to move to Man United or Atletico Madrid, regardless. To go to Crystal Palace, okay, his wages, but it's a step down. He's not going to get his ambitions. The winning cups for Crystal Palace is never going to happen. So why would Steven Gerrard go to say, well, I can afford to hold on to him for these 6 games and see how we're doing, you know?
No, I mean, I think the club obviously holds the cards in some aspects, Brian, because he's contracted to Rangers and he's got a longer term contract. So the club could be offered anything they want and can still say no. But football is about business as well. And as I said before, players are ambitious. So whether it's the biggest team or the biggest league, but, like, you know, you put yourself in that shoes, in a player's shoes, if you can, you know, let's say quadruple your wages, you know, not just for 1 year, maybe over 4 years, you know, it'd be very, very difficult for anyone to turn that down. But listen, I'm with Matt. I don't think he'll go in January, but I do think Rangers will have interest in him. That's what I think. I think they will, because goal scorers are at a premium, and therefore I think there will be significant interest. But I don't think they'll sell him in January, because, you know, they want to try and make a concerted challenge for the title, and they'll have to keep Alfredo Morelos. But regardless of that, Ross Wilson, who we just heard from earlier on, and his recruitment team will have to make sure that they're doing their work anyway, just in case. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know in football. So they'll have to be looking at this moment in time for, you know, a top class replacement, or certainly whether it's in January or whether it's in the summer. Likelihood, the summer.
And just in case you thought this story needed anything else, anything extra, I've just spotted a tweet from an English radio station which says, Brendan Rodgers and January move for Rangers striker Alfredo Morelos.
Yeah, yeah, well, they've only got Jamie Vardy, yeah. So therefore, again, and we heard that's people all discussing it. Yeah, yeah, that's
the light up front.
Of course, you never know. But listen, regardless
we'll cross
of
that
January,
when we come to it, I think
in the summer, as Mark says, most people think that in the summer there's a better chance of him leaving. So therefore, you know, Rangers will have to be looking to replace him in advance as well. Anyway, you can't wait until the summer and then try and find a player to replace someone who's every likelihood to score 30 goals again this year.
What says, you know, like Jerry, a couple of calls ago, oh, you know, clubs in dra dra dra. Mm. As I said, number nine's are hard to come by. So if you are a Leicester or a Crystal Palace or an Aston Villa or whichever one you want to mention in that kind of area, then out with the Premier League in the UK. Tell me, in English Championship, who you'd want more than Eduardo Morelos? Because now they are scoring goals in Europe, and they're scoring goals for France under 21. So it's not just about scoring goals against Motherwell and Hearts and Hibs. They're doing it at a higher level and finishing well. So tell me a striker in the English Championship that you would sign before you would sign Edward or Morelos.
Let's put some of these points to Andrew in Cumbernauld. Hi, Andrew.
Hiya, panel. How are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
I'm on just a couple of things. It was about the Celtic supporter that was on a couple of calls ago. I think Edward was his name or something like that. Saying that there's no way Morelos is a 20, 25 million pound player and he's not controlled his temper this season. I think it's about three times he's been booked so far this season, three, four times he's been booked this season. We're in the middle of November and he's not been sent off. I think that's absolutely fantastic. He's Scotland's top goal scorer. He's a top goal scorer in the Europa League. So where's he getting that this Morelos isn't worth 25 million?
He's got
he thinks Eduardo's worth more.
He's got 5 bookings across all competitions, but he's played 26 times, so clearly that's not too bad. I think the previous caller's interpretation was that he still had deserved to be sent off, but refs were now just turning a blind eye to it. What have you seen, Jim? And I know you watch him closely. He certainly, he looks to a lot of people like he's screwed the nut, to coin a popular Glasgow expression.
I watch him closely because I'm looking at his development as a player. So therefore, when some people, they ask, you know, about, you know, different people about what do you think about players, particularly down south, then they look at the quality, the strengths, the attributes of a player. Not always the fact is that he's playing in the domestic league here and he's maybe getting more chances. Because if you make clever movement and you're a clever finisher, a good finisher, you'll be in demand. And that's what Morelos does. He's still aggressive, but it's a controlled aggression now. He might have the odd moment here and there. A lot of players will do that right through their career, but they're few and far between now. But he's not going to get bullied by anyone. We saw him at the weekend there, just, you know, the ball goes down the channel and he's just shoving the player out of the way. That's what you want. That's part of his strength. That's part of his makeup, and a big attribute of Alfredo Morelos is that he's not going to be intimidated by the centre backs he's playing against. But he's certainly controlled it night and day from last season. He has to continue, and there might be the odd moment here and there, but they're definitely you know, few and far between, as I mentioned.
In fairness, Mark, if this was to become a conversation between another club and Rangers and they say to Steven Gerrard, you know, we've heard disciplinary, Steven Gerrard holds it up and says, yeah, you're right, you know, there was a point when we had concerns, but we've worked hard, and look at his record this season, you know, he's a changed man. I don't think that club's going to come back and say, well, I've actually heard that he deserved a few more bookings than he got. You know, that's probably not really the way it works.
No, they look at the here now, and you look at his disciplinary record and his improvement as a player and a finisher since August, and it's night and day. Look, you think back to the last, or one of the last Old Firm games at Celtic Park, when he's stuck one, what is it, the elbow right into Scott Brown. Moment of madness, let his team down, let his club down. At that moment in time, you wouldn't have given two bob for him. Bigger clubs wouldn't. And that's why, for me, there wasn't a really proper concrete on the table bids from during the summer, because there was that issue hanging over him about his temperament. Now you're almost looking at it in terms of, for a 22 year old playing in Scotland, almost like the kind of complete package for this stage of his career. He's worth it all day long.
Beat The Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thank you very much for the call, Andrew. Apologies, we have to cut it so short at this time for the news, and then it's over to you on Beat the Pundit. If you want to win yourself a signed ball, take on Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi, you need to call us right now. 0141 951 1025. Be quick, the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been joined in the studio as well by our special guest for the second hour, Johnny Russell. So we're going to get to know Johnny a bit better, and we'll put any of your questions and points to him as this hour progresses. Get your calls in. We're at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well.
I'll just say, there's nobody better than Johnny Russell to give us A, what he thinks Morelos is worth, B, what he thinks Edwards is worth, and C, who's the best at the two.
That's it. We'll put him right in the spot.
He's a striker, he knows his stuff. Get him right in the spot.
We'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Johnny Russell's off the hook on this one. It's only Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy eligible to play one of them. We'll be taking on Alan from Irvine. How are you tonight, Alan?
Good, thank you. Just on my way home from work.
Tough shift?
Yeah, a couple of exams today and stuff like that. So, but past that's a good thing. So hopefully I can make a hat trick tonight.
Clever guy,
well done, Alan.
Absolutely. Cleverer than these two. What a day it could be for you. Past exams and the Super Scoreboard sign ball. The best of the lot.
The dreams are made of.
Absolutely. Let's toss the coin. If it's heads, it's Mark Guidi. If it's tails, it's Jim Duffy. And it is tails. Jim Duffy against Alan, the exam whiz from Irvine. So I'm going to give Jim some Clyde 2 to listen to, and then we'll get your clock up and running. Alan, you've got 30 seconds. You are head to head with Jim. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yes.
Which 3-time Bundesliga winner has applied for the vacant Hearts job?
Oh, Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Which MLS team does Johnny Russell play for?
Is it the Whitecaps, I think.
Who did Barry Ferguson play with between his two stints at Ibrox?
Blackburn.
How many goals did Annan score against Brechin last night?
Oh my days.
Just guess. Who did Celtic sign Scott Sinclair from?
Swansea.
Which Scott has been sacked as manager of Carlisle?
Sorry, Pat.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
Great, you're on a different mic, it's confusing me. Right, same set of questions to you. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Which 3-time Bundesliga winner has applied for
Felix
the vacant
Maga.
Hearts job? Which MLS team does Johnny Russell play for?
Is it Portland Timbers or something like that, really?
Brilliant. Who did Barry Ferguson play with between his two stints at Ibrox?
Blackburn Rovers.
How many goals did Annan score against Brechin last night? Who did Celtic sign Scott Sinclair from?
Swansea.
Which Scot has been sacked as manager of Carlisle?
Stephen Presley.
Which Scottish club plays its home games at Lynx Park?
Montrose.
Which trophy did Mikel Arteta not win with Rangers?
League Cup.
Okay. Alan, what was easier, beat the pundit or the exam?
The exam.
Exam.
Well done, Jim. Oh, he's won that comfortably.
Are you sure?
Aye, definitely.
Right, let's find out. Which 3-time Bundesliga winner has applied for the vacant Hearts job? It's Felix Magath. Mm-hmm. Listen, any manager who recommends robbing cheese on injuries, mm-hmm, I'm behind him. I'm starting Super Scoreboard campaign for him to get the job. I would love that on this show. Which MLS team does Johnny Russell play for? Wasn't awkward at all. Jim's standing right next to him. Johnny, would you like to lean into the mic and tell us?
It's Sporting Kansas City.
Sporting Kansas City. Because last night Roger Hanna made terrible Kansas joke after terrible Kansas joke about clicking his heels and, you know, all that kind of. Who did Barry Ferguson play with between his two stints at Ibrox? It was Blackburn. So it's 2-1 to Jim Duffy. How many goals did Annan score against Brechin last night? I've got Mark Wilson on the phone to confirm it was 5. So Jim got that one as well. Scott Sinclair signed from
Aston Villa.
It's Aston Villa. Played a lot of games for Swansea, but it was Aston Villa most recently. The Scots who's been sacked as manager of Carlisle is Stephen Presley. So it's 4-1 to Jim at this stage, Alan. And then he rubbed the salt in the wounds with Lynx Park, the home of Montrose. He got the last one wrong. Mikel Arteta didn't win the Scottish Cup. But it wasn't enough for you. 5, I think, in the end to Jim Duffy. And a 1. But listen, you passed your exam anyway. That's all that matters, really. Good man. Thanks for taking part, Alan.
Thank you.
There we go. Can't win them all.
Yeah, well, as I said, there was one of those ones where there's a few questions that I should know. But you know, when it comes to the likes of Scott Sinclair, when you play for a few clubs, you just got to pick one, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Right, Kansas, I should have got, because yeah, actually,
I mean, he's got a Kansas strip on and everything standing right next to him.
Earlier on, when you say Johnny's coming in, I was actually then thinking, right, what clubs you play for, and well, coming to my head. So I don't know why I said Portman Timbers, but anyway,
there is actually a method to all my madness. Earlier on, mm-hmm, I was going to say Sporting Kansas player Johnny Russell's coming on, but I knew it was Unbeat the Pundit, and I just introduced him as so Scotland International. Honestly, you never miss a trick.
Tell it. Did you ever respell Colorado? No.
No,
it was just straight, right,
straight,
right,
straight over to Kansas. Straight over to Kansas. Anyway, that was a bit of a soft introduction. Mm-hmm. Johnny Russell is with us. Johnny, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's what brings you here? MLS season off at the moment?
It's off, so bit of time off, bit of time back home, see the family.
And not in the Scotland squad because of injury?
Yeah.
Injury?
Yeah, I've got a tear in my adductor.
Mark Guidi's going to conduct a scan on the way out just to make sure. That's the way it's been this week. Right, Johnny, I'm not sure if Clyde One broadcasts in Kansas, probably not. But we always get to know our guests a little bit better when they first come in. Just a series of daft quickfire questions for you. What was the first football game you went to?
It would have been an Albion Rovers game.
Just the Coatbridge connection.
Coatbridge connection.
Not memorable enough to tell us the opposition.
No.
Any Albion Rovers match is memorable. It's like Kevin Harper and Big Joe McLaughlin.
What year, Johnny? Roughly?
1994, 5.
I played from 92, 93.
He started going after you left. Yeah, things have taken a turn for the better.
Yeah, I played, it was Stevie Cadden and.
It would have been about then.
Des McCune and all that.
Who was your footballing hero growing up? Don't say Mark Guidi.
No, Henrik Larsson.
I think that doesn't need much.
No,
when did he play for the Rovers?
Don't need to elaborate much there. Was that just you were a striker all your days, I guess, and the obvious?
That was pretty much it.
Pretty much. Best player you've played with?
Oh, with. Played with you, Will Hughes. Tom Ince was up there as well, Jeff Hendrick.
So the Derby.
Derby. A few of the Derby boys definitely up there.
Best you've played against?
That's the same. Recently played against Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's still a different class.
That's not a bad name to drop, is it?
A great name. Like
that one. Hazard, like De Bruyne. They've got to be up there.
Oh
as well.
Oh my goodness.
So,
right,
God, then I've been lucky.
You have to pick one. Just maybe even on the day that you played them, who left the biggest impact and why?
Hazard, probably. I've played against him a few times, more than the others, and yeah, he's been as good every time I've played against him, so it's got to be him.
What about the toughest one in Scotland, your time at Dundee United?
Oh. Did you play against Van Dijk?
Once.
When you were Celtic?
Yeah, played against him once at Tannadice. Mm. You've got to throw him.
No bad.
You've got to throw him in there as well.
I can't let you go without talking about Zlatan. We had a call on Monday night saying Celtic must sign Zlatan. Celtic should. What is he like up close?
Huge.
Is he?
No, he's different class. You know, I've been lucky to play against him a few times now, and you know, you can see the ability that the guy's got, and you know, he's got the ego to go with it as well.
Charisma and ego.
He's the sort of physical specimen. Do you try and get close to him? Is he just swatting people away, or
he's swatting people away? I managed to get his top after the game, so I'm not really one for swatting tops, but.
Make an exception there.
Yeah, me Coatbridge Gary. I'll be right, he's lying. He's a Jersey big man.
Don't mind that at all. Best friend in football? Anyone in particular have maybe come through with or stay in touch?
I've got a lot. Scott Allen, who's at Hibs, grew up with him. David Goodwillie, still keep in contact with him. Really close to, like I said, Tom Ince, Jeff Hendrick, Cyrus Christie at Derby. Really close to those boys. So
popular guy. What about the best stadium you've played at?
Wembley was pretty good. We played their playoff final my first year in Derby. Atlanta Stadium's amazing as well.
I was going to ask that one. That's one I've seen, and that looks incredible, isn't it?
Super Bowl had that last year, didn't it?
They did. It was, I think it was something like 60, 70,000 when we played them there. So it was some atmosphere. It was brilliant.
Best footballing moment?
Scotland debut. 100%.
Yeah. Who was that against?
England. Parkhead.
Oh, that's right. I remember that night. Why is that the one that stands out above the rest?
Obviously, growing up, my whole life you want to be a footballer, but to get the chance to represent your country is, you know, something that, you know, I'll hold as a, you know, the best moment in my career. So it's definitely got to be that one.
Like that. I'll bring you back down to earth though with your worst footballing moment.
Losing the playoff final. Completely dominated the game. And lost the last minute goal.
Who was that to again? You lost it to
QPR.
Is that partly because it's now, you know, it's always built up as the sort of richest game in football, so you're all well aware of the consequences. Does that make the disappointment that much worse?
I think so. And at the time, we had a really young, you know, hungry squad. A lot of guys had a lot to prove, you know, at the club, and a completely one-sided game dominated the whole game. And you know, about a sucker punch right then, just couldn't take any of our chances.
Did Neil Warnock, it was a manager of QPR at the time?
You know what, I can't even remember who it was.
I'm just
it was
trying to erase it from his memory.
No, just the reason, because it would sound like a typical Neil Warnock team. You could battle them, but they can still win. That's a good
they
guy.
Had Dunn, Barton was playing, Zamora scored the goal, so it was, you know, they had a good team. But at the time, we were a better team.
What's about any pre-match superstitions?
I don't have any.
None
at all.
Did the MLS boys do anything a bit wackier than over here?
Nah, not really. No, they're pretty, it's more laid back out there. You know, over here there's just rules like no phones in sight, whereas over there, you know, they just sit and play about on their phone, which is it's small things like that, but it's weird, especially when you've come from grown up.
So it's not quite as strict or?
No, it's not quite as strict. It's more relaxed leading up to games, but you know, that's the way they do it. So,
what are your hobbies away from football?
Good one.
Not a lot, by the sounds
of it. I don't really do much over there. Obviously, it's just me, my wife, and my daughter. So, after training, a lot of the time spent with her, going and doing stuff with her. So,
family man, don't mind that at all. You got a film, a box set tip, Mark Guidi always writes these down when we get the guests in. He likes to know what people are keeping an eye on.
I'm actually watching Outlander just now, a show about Scotland.
We bit
Battle of Culloden and stuff like that around about that time. So no, I'm watching that. Obviously Game of Thrones has been my favourite recently, so no, just
some safe choices.
The main ones that you would expect.
This is the one where we really do put you in the spot. I probably should tell them before they come in, really, shouldn't I? Your ultimate five-a-side team of players you've played with.
Goalkeeper probably Lee Grant when I was at Derby. Brilliant.
You can include yourself if you want.
No, I'll keep myself out.
Yeah, we find out a bit about you if you include them or not.
No, I'll keep myself out. Defenders.
Oh, he's thinking about it tactically as well. I like that.
I'll put Robbo in it. Andy Robertson.
Okay, not a bad choice.
Then I'd probably go Jeff Hendrick, Thomas, and I'd put Chris Martin up there as well.
Getting the goals for
striker, yeah.
Chris Martin, okay. Aye, best striker I've played with.
Yeah.
Do you think 100%. He should? Because when we're talking about number nines, and look, with the greatest of respect to Lon Shankland, and he scored, and it was great. Everybody wanted that. But when you're still looking for a wee bit of competition there, injuries like yourself, Fletcher, don't want to get back involved. Is Chris? Or do you think that the Scotland fans and maybe the media even killed his Scotland career?
I think he's had a lot of disrespect thrown his way, and for me personally, I don't think it's justified. He's, like I said there, he's the best centre forward I've played with. His knowledge of the game, his touch, his awareness.
Strong boy.
He's a ridiculously strong boy. You know, people seem to get this impression that he doesn't run about, but he still puts in some hard yards as well. So no, he's definitely something to have had.
He's back playing at Derby again, isn't he?
Yes, he's back in the team, and you know, it's shown recently, a few goals, a few assists as well. So no, the big man's a handful up there.
0141 951 1025, if you want to have your say on the lines. Josh is on the line from Irvine. Hi Josh.
Alright guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Hi, Josh. What's your point tonight? You got a question for Johnny?
I do. Obviously guys, as you know, big Scotland fan. Johnny, good to hear from you. You're a bit of a fan favourite amongst the Tartan Army, so it's good to see you back.
It was just around the squad
for the games coming up. What was the reasoning for yourself not being admitted to the squad at this time?
So I've been in contact with Scotland since the last one. Leading into the last one, I had a bit of a problem with my groin and my stomach. So you know, I could have pulled out the last one, but it was, you know, my season had just finished, and I thought, you know, I'm never going to pull out the squad. So I went away with the injury and just throughout the week, and then coming on in the game, so I made it a little bit worse for myself. So no, I've been in contact with Scotland since that, and we just felt it was probably the best thing to to leave me out. So, you know, disappointing not to be there, but a bit of precaution on my side as well.
Alright, good. Well, if you want, if you're manning a pint, we'll be the Iron Horse on Saturday. also wanted to ask you, just on MLS. Oh, watch a bit of MLS on a certain TV news network, and some of the shouts for the commentators are absolutely hoaching. what's the worst bit of patter you've ever heard for an American soccer guy out there?
That's a good question. I'm going to write that down.
I know. I'll give you that. Some of the commentary it takes a bit to get used to. I think it's more, you know, coming from playing here, the abuse you get at away games and stuff like that can be pretty severe at times. And then going over there and getting insults like "you suck" is a bit night and day. So, you know, taking abuse like that is probably been the worst, but at the same point funniest as well.
I suppose at the same time, does the terminology does differ, as Josh mentions, with the commentators? Is it the same in the training ground? The guys shout things, and sometimes you think, what's he on about?
Aye, there's just different words they use for certain things that I don't really
can't see.
I don't really get the hang of them, and I say obviously how we would say it here. So
lost in translation, even though it's the same language.
How do you find the whole, I'm always intrigued about the media thing over there, because it's like kind of access all areas into the dressing rooms and players are milling about. But what light is the knowledge of the media over there, Johnny? How does it compare to the media over here in terms of what kind of questions you're asked? What are they more into trying to get a headline at you? Are they more into tactics, informations?
They know their stuff. It's not as if, I mean, they're coming and asking you ridiculous questions. They know what they're talking about. It is more tactical. I've never really felt at times where you come in and they're trying to force something.
It's not headline driven.
It's not headline driven. It's mainly just for local newspapers, local fans. So it's not really on the same sort of scale that you would get elsewhere. It's pretty, to be honest, everything they do is pretty laid back. It's all thoughts on the game, thoughts on the next game, stuff like that. It's never really to get you trying put your foot on it.
Josh, you're on a bit of a roll. You got anything else for us?
No, just good to hear from Johnny back, obviously. Hope you're back in the squad in March, mate, to take us through the playoffs and take us back to Euros. And then we'll all be doing the hustle for Johnny Russell.
Hope so. Thanks a lot, mate.
That was Josh and Irvin on the line. What about how are you feeling at the moment, Johnny, about this campaign as a whole? It's been difficult. But obviously there is still that incentive at the end with the playoffs. So how are you feeling about it?
It's disappointing. Everyone knows that. We went into the campaign with the ambition and the belief that we could get out of the group and qualify. Down to us, and poor performances and results hasn't worked out that way. But like you said, we've still got these playoffs. So, you know, these games are a massive opportunity to get, you know, more minutes, more in touch with the manager, what he wants. And you know, it's all about building momentum going into these games. You know, you want to go into those games, the playoff games, coming off the back of, you know, good results. And, you know, these two games are the perfect time to do that.
This week it's unfortunately been all about the players who are not in the squad rather than the ones who are. And that's perhaps been the same for some of the others. I think you're off the hook. I mean, because everybody knows you travel time and time again from Kansas for sometime limited game time. What is it about that makes that sort of pull so strong? I think you said something there, you know, you would never pull out a squad. And that's not to say that these guys aren't genuinely injured, but what keeps bringing you back?
Like I said, the highlight of my career was playing for my country, make my debut, and, you know, every opportunity I get is to add to that. Something I look back at my career and, you know, the amount of times that I've played for my country, and I spent so long out the squad, and never thought I would get back in it, to getting an opportunity to be in the Peru-Mexico games. I came in and I've been in since, so, you know, that's something I would never take for granted, because I've been on the other side of it, having not been there, that, you know, I'm always going to want to be there. So, you know, the last few I flew from America to be in them, and then the one I'm back in Scotland, I missed. So
difficult.
It's a is a bit difficult.
When you're obviously over in the States and playing, do you think that you know, that's a disadvantage? You know, most people would tend to think, because we don't see. And yeah. I know now the MLS games are on, and I know from a coaching aspect, you know, all the coaches, the managers, they get access to that.
Yeah.
But from the fans' perspective, because they don't maybe see a lot, sometimes they think, well, where's he coming from? Why are we not picking, as you say, a Chris Martin playing the Derby? We've got Johnny Russell in playing in MLS. Do you think it's been a disadvantage? You know, has it not impacted you?
Not from the selection point of view, but I know what you're saying. Obviously, people don't get to see me, see how I'm progressing, see how I'm playing. Some people see it as, oh, a guy playing in America. Maybe their view on that league, but you know, it's a competitive league. I'm playing at a good level. If I didn't deserve to be in the squad, I wouldn't be in it. So it's,
when we get the call offs like we have this time and in previous times, people then, rightly or wrongly, build this perception that they don't want to be there. Players don't want to be there. Is that unfair?
I think so. You know, there has to be a valid reason for you not being in the squad. It's not as if you get the phone call and you just turn around and go, oh, I don't fancy it, you know, this trip. But it's, you know, a lot of players will be under pressure from the club as well. If they're carrying a slight injury, there's no way their club's going to want them to be there. You know, if you're going into a Scotland trip with an injury and you make it worse, you know, you miss a certain amount of games for your club, then, you know, there's going to be a bit of pressure from them. But at the same point, there needs to be a valid reason for you not being in the squad. If you pull out with an injury, then majority of the time you're assessed by the Scotland physios and doctors as well. So it's, you know, people don't see that side of it. They just see as, oh, such and such is pulling out, when it's not like that at all. So I think it's unfair.
Johnny, I do think, Gordon, I mean, Johnny speaking for a player, but there have been players in the past, there's absolutely no doubt, that have pulled out when they've been okay to play. Either didn't like the manager, the setup, you know, whatever. There has been players in the past, but they are, again, it's a rare occasion. But we're talking about over decades here. You know, I mean, way back to the heyday, there was players that pulled out of international squads. But I think, as Johnny says now, you know, the pressure comes from the clubs. We hear managers time and time again when players go away and they're complaining about how their players were, or it was an injury. So they have to be really careful now.
Johnny Russell joining Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi tonight. Any more points, get them on Twitter or on the phones, and we'll get a full-time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here as always on a Wednesday, joined tonight as well by Johnny Russell. He's over on his holidays, I suppose, visiting home during the international break. Injured, not joined up with the Scotland squad on this occasion. So if you've got any questions, get them in on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're still going to do a full time teaser, because the full time teaser moves for no man, no matter how far they've travelled to be here. But we're only going for six answers tonight, so we'll keep it nice and short so we can get back to talking to Johnny and find out a bit more about him.
I just think that he's brilliant. Johnny's here, he said, you hear all this image about footballers and then they're all spoiling, they go to these places, whether they go on their holiday, they go to Dubai and Vegas and Los Angeles.
Clyde Bank.
He's going to Coatbridge.
And Coatbridge. Via Clyde Bank. Clyde Bank. Off the top.
No, he was such a down-to-earth boy.
To see the wee Rovers.
David sent the question in tonight, only looking for six answers, as I said. Six Englishmen who've scored top flight hat-tricks in Scotland in the SPFL era. So that's 2013 onwards. Six Englishmen who've scored top flight hat-tricks. Johnny, is that probably just about the season you left Scotland?
2013 onwards.
It would be,
aye. So maybe not your area of expertise, but you can still lend a hand, yes. So six Englishmen who've scored top flight hat-tricks in Scotland in the SPFL era.
Gary Hooper.
No, he would be before, just... See, maybe trickier than you think.
That's one of the ones you go to say something, you think, is he English or is he Irish or is he just...
But Gordon Dale had great difficulty with that last night.
So. Ryan Kent?
No, never got a hat trick.
Josh Windass?
Yes. Right. It's not the most obvious one, I must admit, but you've got him nevertheless.
Oh, Sam Cosgrove?
No.
Louis Moult?
Yes.
I've done that.
You're a third of the way there, so I think we can just leave it. Johnny, you just want to spectate? Just gonna
Sinclair.
There we go. That's why he's here, like bringing the knowledge. That was the obvious one. I said, like, you're halfway there, so we'll leave it. Scott Sinclair, Louis Moult, Josh Windass. See the next three, much harder than those three. Six Englishmen have scored top flight hat tricks in Scotland in the SPFL era. We've been speaking to Johnny Russell about life in the MLS and how they call the top corner the, what was it you told us during the break?
Upper 90.
The upper 90. And so on. But genuinely, Johnny, what was it that attracted you over there? Was moving abroad something you always wanted to do?
When I was at United, that's, you know, I didn't really have any intention of going to England. Ideally I would have went abroad. There was a slight bit of interest in a few bids from a team in Serie A, Catania, at the time. Never really materialised from anything. And then about 6 months to a year later, that's when I went to Derby, spoke to Nigel Clough. He was the manager at the time, and after speaking to him, I just felt that it was going to be a good move for me, right fit. And you know, it turned out well for me. It was good, but I always had that ambition of going and playing somewhere else, testing myself somewhere else. And you know, I'm glad I made it. It's, you know, it gave me a belief back in my game that I was missing for a little bit. Gave me that spark back that I was missing as well, and it's worked out well for me back in the Scotland squad and enjoying playing again.
Is that something you would encourage any young Scottish players coming through to really think about it, really think about broadening their horizons and looking elsewhere?
Definitely. Especially, you know, not just America, but going to a different country. You know, you look at Henderson over in Italy, trying a different culture, different way of life, learning a new language. I think it'd be great for any young player, but even if they have their sights set in the MLS, and it's something that I would definitely, you know, tell them to go for.
I think we're probably still a bit behind in this country, where there's this perception still that the MLS is a retirement home for you know, for guys who've played in Europe's big leagues. What is the overall package like? Because the standard of football is obviously the main thing, but I mean, the facilities and the full infrastructure look incredible, so you can see why people do find it so attractive.
Of course. You know, there's a few clubs who over there who are a little bit behind some of the bigger clubs that you would think, but you know, Kansas, the month before I signed, they just opened up a brand new 90 million facility. So you know, the place is incredible. It's got everything that stuff you wouldn't even think that you needed or you had the chance to use. They've got it, and you know, they set a standard that everyone else is starting to follow now. There's a lot of new teams coming into the league as well who are going to base their stadiums and training grounds off as well. So they've definitely, you know, paved the way for a lot of different clubs to do it as well.
How does the process work? So you're at Derby, mm-hmm. and you've made it maybe clear to your agent you'd like to go abroad, mm-hmm. right? For talking to you, say maybe a possible interest in Europe. Mm-hmm. But does he then go and look at options for you abroad, or do you say, I'd like to try MLS, or did he come back to you and say, listen, there's an opportunity here at the MLS?
Well, even before I went, I always watched the MLS after games at the weekend, stuff like that. It was always on late at night, so I, you know, stayed up, watched that, and it was actually them that came to me. So it was never me actively looking to go. It was Mo Johnson, actually, who knows my agent, and he played with the manager at Kansas. Mm-hmm. It was actually him who got in contact to say, would I be open to the idea?
Because Kansas isn't the obvious team,
exactly.
Is it? Because you're slap bang in the middle of America, isn't it? Really? So
that's where Mo played, didn't he? And Richard Goff,
exactly.
They both played there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know much about the place until, you know, the opportunity came, and then obviously I could look more into it, look at the team. And I just felt it was a good fit, spoke to the manager. I had 6 months left in my contract, so you know, I was open to speak to people, mm-hmm. and I just, you know, I liked everything that he had to say, and it, like I said earlier, it's worked out well for me. It's a good place and a good team to be a part of as well.
Is he still the manager?
He's still a manager. Aye,
who is it? Who's the guy?
A guy called Peter Vermees. Played in America, played Spain, Hungary, so he's been about as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, a really really good guy, really good coach as well. So good manager. He knows the game, and cool. it's worked out.
I'm thinking of other Scots over there at the moment. Danny Wilson,
Sam
Nicholson, is he still
Nicholson,
over?
Gary Mackay-Stevens just went to New York as well. Yeah, so, yeah. No, there's a few boys, and I think think Chrissy Cadden's going over as well.
Columbus,
think,
yeah.
He's going to Columbus as well.
He's at Oxford now, but yeah. Well, no one to annoy Gordon because he'll get his team. Did he get the money for them? So
I'm over it.
Made upset.
Should you played against these guys recently, or?
I have. Most recently, we played Colorado, so Danny and Sam. But you know, I'm good mates with guys and known him for years. So we played New York and had a few days off after it. So got to spend a bit of time in New York with him, which is
it's not bad, is it?
You don't think of that when you're at Dundee United together, but it's it was good to see him. I've not seen him for a while, so it was good to catch up.
As long as he keeps away from the Hudson.
And I said that to him when he first signed. I told him to stay away from that. So
Ian is in Bearsden. Hi, Ian.
Hi there. It's refreshing to hear Johnny Russell talking. As a guy I have all respected and admired for a while, to have him come out and say that a highlight of his football career was running out for his country for the first time, and the distance he travels, he even told us he came around here the last time, and after the discussions of the last night or two about the amount of guys who pull out for so-called injuries, I hope some of them are listening tonight and can hang their heads in shame at this guy. So I'll learn bad admiration for him.
Yeah, I mean, we won't make Johnny blush too much by getting him to answer that point, Jim. But you're a big Scotland fan, and it's refreshing. Ian's right.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, I've had many a time on this programme where I've said that, you know, I just can't understand why it's not as important to players. Johnny's refreshing to hear him, as Ian has said, and I think to a lot of supporters, saying that is still important to a lot of players, to play for your country, to be picked. It should be something special, you know, and there's so many fantastic players over the decades that never got the opportunity. So I think you should treat it specially, but we understand that it's a different game now. It's, you know, the financial aspect, a lot of the clubs, these are the priorities. But it is very, very refreshing to hear someone like Johnny saying, listen, you know, one, it was his biggest moment in football when you've had success as well. But also the fact is he wants to continue and enjoys it. And also, I'm sure it helps you as a player to play against. You said you're playing against Hazard and De Bruyne and guys. You're playing against world-class players. It must help you as a footballer, look to help your development where you're on the same pitch as these guys.
Aye, it does. It's, you know, you don't get to play against these guys every week. I mean, the guys are playing in the Premiership, obviously do, but you know, for me, having not played there, it's, you know, as you want to put yourself against the best. It's difficult. You look at the players, you know, they're a class above, but you know, you want to test yourself. You constantly want to improve and test yourself as a player, and there's no better way than doing that.
How would you describe the atmosphere and the mood amongst the group then? Because again, fans will always sort of leap to these conclusions. It's just natural when you see players pulling out, and we know results haven't been great. People say, you know, well, they must not enjoy it, and perhaps fairly or unfairly in the previous man, you know, they must not like the manager, whatever it is, all these things you hear. How would you describe what it's like to be part of that at the moment?
Well, it's difficult when, you know, it's a, you know, you're judged on results, or results haven't been good enough, but, you know, it's a tight group that we've got, you know, a great bunch of boys, a great staff as well. So, you know, everyone does want to be there. You know, I can understand why people might not think that at times, but you know, everyone wants to be there. We all want to be a part of a Scotland team who's successful and gets us to those major tournaments. You know, that's why we're all there. We've disappointing group, but you know, we need to be positive. We've still got a second chance. We can still do it, and you know, that's a belief we need to go into these next two games with, carry a bit of momentum, and you know, take that into the playoffs. And you know, I'm sure, you look at our team, we've got the team to do it. It's just about, you know, us when we're on the pitch putting it together.
How does Stevie Clark differ from other Scotland managers you've worked under? What's his style? Is there anything that sticks out as being different?
I think we do a little bit more tactically than probably have recently. But every manager comes in with their own ideas, and it's difficult to get them across at times because of how short the time we've had. You know, boys are coming off the back of playing and maybe miss a couple of days with a slight niggle or injuries that, you know, players are getting monitored that way. So you know, it's hard to get everyone on the pitch at the same time to get those ideas across. So, you know, as a difficult job, but like I said, we've got a good group of boys who are always wanting to learn and improve and take that on board. So although it's not been the group that any of us would have wanted, players, fans, staff. But it's at the same point you need to be positive. You can't think of how disappointing it's been, you know, and let that continue.
Mm. Ian, you want to come back in?
I just think I admire your honesty, Johnny, and you're probably a wee bit diplomatic there as well. No one to criticise any of your fellow players, and I totally respect that. I wish you all the best, and I hope you're back playing for the playoffs.
Oh, appreciate that, thank you.
Yeah, well, that was Ian, Partick Thistle fan, obviously with an eye on Scotland, in Bears Den. Someone's tweeted me a video, says, show Johnny this, it's an MLS game. I can't. I'll show him at the break. He'll need to play. I'll tell you what, we'll take a bit of a breather. Just quickly on the teaser, you got any more? You've got Scott Sinclair, Louis Moult, Josh Windass,
Kane Hemmings.
Oh, brilliant. The knowledge in this studio tonight is
I don't know if he's, I know he's got a very Scottish name, but I don't know if he's Scottish. Billy Mackay.
He's Northern Irish.
All right, I wasn't sure.
No. I'll leave it there.
One more.
Go.
Left field. Marley Watkins.
No. We've only got two to get. We'll get them next. Just something else I wanted to bring to your attention. As you well know, we've been following Rangers and Celtic around Europe in these Europa League games. It's been brilliant so far. Thanks to our partners at Ladbrokes, we're giving you the chance to win a stunning home entertainment system. I'm sure a few of you could do with that. Good time of year for it as well. If you want to be in with the chance of winning that, head to Clyde1.com. We'll get the rest of the answers to the teaser next.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are here. Johnny Russell is alongside them. What you got in tonight's teaser? Six Englishmen who scored top flight hat-tricks in Scotland in the SPFL era. Johnny helped you out with Scott Sinclair. You got Kane Hemmings, Louis Moult, Josh Windass. Two to get.
I think one's Aberdeen, and I think the other one, Jim's got a shot. Another one, a Motherwell player, another Motherwell player.
Curtis Main?
No.
Right. One at the end of last season, I think Aberdeen ones are way back at the start of the SPFL.
You are correct. One was right at the end of last season. It might even have been the final day. It was certainly the last 2 weeks of the season.
It's not a Hamilton player, is it?
No. And another one is going back a bit further. I don't mind telling you because we're running out of time. It is not a Motherwell player.
Oh, it's not a Motherwell player.
You'll need to give us a clue then.
I'll tell you what, we'll take a call first. Johnny's in. Johnny, as he told us earlier on, grew up in Coatbridge. Frankie's on the line from Coatbridge, but now lives in Austin, Texas. There we go. Frankie, you want to speak to your fellow Coatbridge
you
Onion? I don't know if that's the right word.
No, that's an Airdrie Onion.
Oh, so is. Can't make that mistake.
Right. How are you doing, Johnny? It's just to say, I've been over here in America now for 20 years from Coatbridge, but Austin FC is going to be the most recent team. I think it's starting next year. They've just broke ground on the stadium. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it looks exactly like Celtic. I'm a Celtic supporter, and we've got a good Celtic supporters club over here. But I was just going to say, if you fancy moving from Kansas, there's a lot of Scots people out here. We got up early in the morning and go and watch the games from back home. And if you move there, you're going to have the green and white on anyway. I know you nearly made it a couple of years ago. But here's the deal breaker for you. I'm not a guy that can import Buckfast. We get it in a case. So you're always welcome to come over and we can get a wee Desmond Becker.
Frankie, the line's breaking up a wee bit, but I hope people hear that because, and by the way, I hope no one from Kansas is listening because Johnny's been tapped up on the show. Frankie's trying to get you to sign for Austin's new team, and your signing on bonus is a case of Buckfast. Take the boy out of Coatbridge. I mean, come on. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me, that.
Frankie, are you going to be going along? Are you going to be a fan of the new Austin team?
I will. It's a great facility they've got out there, and they've got a lot of a good backers, so it should be good. They've got a team just now, Austin Bold. It's like a sort of feeder team, and they're like the second division, but it'll be good to get an MLS team and see some of the big guys over there. So come along, Johnny. We'll welcome you with open arms. You can come down to the Celtic Supporters Club as well. And listen, my mum's got a flower shop, my sister in Coatbridge. So if you're ever needing to send flowers over, just call Occasions Flowers and tell them thank you, sent you, and I'll get you a discount as well.
I cannot wait. I can't wait to see Johnny Russell sign for Austin with the bottle of Buckfast in one hand, a massive flower on his suit jacket, just to get it all in there and complete the deal. Frankie, thank you very much. We wish you well in your ventures there, touting players for the new team in Austin. Frankie does mention it though. Johnny, you've never made any secret of the fact, big Celtic fan. Do you still manage to to see enough of the action over
there? Actually, see, I'll probably see a lot more over there than, you know, I did when I played in England, and, you know, when I'm back, you know, all my family are Celtic fans as well, so we get to as many games as we can. And me and my brother was actually in Rome last week, so spent a few days there, went to see the game, and, you know, it was a brilliant occasion, that. Picked a good one to get my first away game as well.
Was that your first, was it?
Aye.
I think going back, would that have been before Derby? There was talk, certainly, of a potential. I know that would have been a boyhood dream of yours. What was it like at that time?
There was a few windows leading up to the window that I left Derby. There was always no talk, but there was never anything more. And then the transfer window that I went to Derby, there was actually, I think there was a couple of bids from Celtic as well, but just didn't quite match what Derby offered. So it never came down to me to make a decision where I would have went. I mean, it wouldn't have been much of a decision, to be honest, but, you know, I love my time at Derby. You know, I wouldn't have changed it, but if it was a choice to sign for the two, then I think everyone knows where it'd be.
Is it something you've given up on, or is it one of those never say never?
You never know. You know, it's not happened. Maybe it won't, but, you know, you can always hope. I'm enjoying my time over there. I'm in no rush to get back, but, you know, it's your boyhood team, and, you know, be back, all my family get to see me as well. So it's, you know, it's something that I always wanted to do. I haven't had the fact that I'd want to do that. But you know, you never know. Maybe it has passed. But
what age is Johnny?
29.
Oh, plenty of time. If it's no sale, it'll be the wee Rovers. I'm pretty sure you'll get one.
Come back to the Rovers.
Come back and buy Albion Rovers.
We are very much caught up in it, Johnny, this title race at the moment, and the way things are every night, and it's hectic, and it's brilliant, it's exciting. What's it like to watch from afar?
It's exciting. You know, it's the closest it's been for a while now, and, you know, that's only, it's only going to be good for the game as well here. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of how tight it's been, and, you know, it's enjoyable to watch as well. So you've got your two of the teams back on top form, getting great results in Europe as well. So, you know, it's good times for us right now.
You get any of the Kansas boys involved, any of them indoctrinated into your ways?
We've got Gideon Zalalem. He's played at Rangers and he signed for us. So
Matt Warburton's.
Yeah, that's right.
The two of us have had a bit of banter over there, and, you know, the other boys, they're obviously aware of the clubs. They're two massive clubs, so, you know, I think they're taking a little bit more of an interest now because of us two.
You've been dusting off the videos of that. He scored in that penalty shootout, didn't he?
He did. He's brought that up a few times. So.
Brilliant. Right, I think, well, let's see if we can round off this teaser. Do you want some clues?
Yep.
Is it Monday?
Okay. No. Unless Mark can come up.
I'm toiling.
Just something to keep an eye on. Remember, if you want to hear your question on the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Six Englishmen who've scored top flight hat-tricks in Scotland in the SPFL era. So that's about 2013 onwards. You've got Scott Sinclair, Kane Hemmings, Louis Molt, Josh Windass, and you've got two to get.
An Aberdeen player?
Yes.
I need more than that, Gordon.
Aberdeen player from May 2014. When did you leave Dundee United, Johnny?
13.
See, it was against Dundee United as well. I'm sort of all out on this guy. He's an English striker.
Thanks for that.
I can't even remember his other club, which is unlike me.
It's no Nicky Maynard.
No. Way before him. Well, we do the old Hugh Keevans clue. He likes it when I tell you his initials.
Did Derek inherit him, or did Derek sign him?
No, I think he would have inherited him. See, he can't have stayed much longer than this. He would have been replaced by Adam Rooney, this guy.
So wee Brown would have signed him then?
Time for the initials, is it?
Aye.
SV. Oh. It's not the silence I was hoping for, I must admit. Yeah. Scott Vernon.
I
can't even remember. What other clubs did he play for? It's not like me, I can usually. Right, last one. Last week of last season, I'm sure it was, or there or thereabouts, for St Mirren.
I thought something niggled.
Remember, it came from nowhere. It was at Dens. Was it the result that kept them up, or it was round about that time? And I don't think this guy's played since because he was injured.
Is it Adam somebody? No.
I know. I can remember the game. I can remember the game, mm-hmm. but I can't remember the player. It was one of Alan Stubbs' side.
Yeah, it's one of Alan Stubbs' signings.
Yeah, Alan.
I think, like I say, I think he's missed this season so far injured, which makes it even more tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
CC.
Oh, I was going to say
Coleman.
A less than cryptic clue. What do you do with your dinner before you eat it? You
microwave it.
You cook it.
Or no,
Cody Cook. My goodness, we got there in the end. Thanks to Mark and Jim as always. Johnny, thank you very much. We wish you well. Hopefully we see you back in the Scotland team, and all the best when you go back over stateside.
Thanks a lot, appreciate that.
I'm actually not back tomorrow. First time I've ever said that. I think Stephen Mill is going to be looking after you. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson will be here, so make sure you do join
them. Enjoy your holes.
Thank you very much. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.